Live from the Battleborne Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
Yankees Royals in baseball has started up. That one is scoreless in the fourth inning. And Avalanche in town to take on your Golden Knights. That is a 7 o'clock start. We were just talking to Justin Watkins. He's a season ticket holder. I don't know what he was, like one of the first 75 or first 100 in town to jump on board. And what a story the Avalanche have been over the years. Check that. The Knights have been over the years and winning a cup in six. And now we're at a point where they're going to do a pivot here with many new players on the roster. I know people are really disappointed that Marshy especially went bye-bye, but that's the job of management. Don't get caught up in emotion. Don't overpay guys who are a little bit older. So they had a bunch of players move on. We'll see what the season holds. I think they're going to have a good season.
I do too.
The only thing I worry about is goaltender depth, but I also trust McPhee and McCrimmon that they know what they're doing and they made the right choice and that they didn't get emotional about an emotional.
Yeah. And I think that they're smart enough to know what moves that they're making. So even if it's, you know, many new players on a roster, I think they're still going to be really successful because they're a successfully ran organization. And that's truly where it starts.
Well, this is a test, right? I think a lot of people around the NHL, especially snarky fans, think that they were set up with a very easy expansion draft. And it's factually, it was easier, but they also mastered it and kind of destroyed people from a strategy standpoint. And it did give them a good run, a good base to begin with. But they've made changes every single year. So I want to get into some NFL this hour. We're going to talk to Arash Markazi in just a little bit. We'll check in on the Chargers, a stone's throw away from where he lives in Southern California. Of course, he's Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii. And he's got a wedding coming up.
Oh.
It is it's close. I can't remember how many days. But
that's nice.
Willie's very sour that he did not get invited.
But wait, where's the wedding going to be held in Las Vegas?
You know what's funny? I so don't listen to people when they talk about anything other than sports.
Well, that's probably why you weren't invited.
I mean, I like him. I love Arash. He's awesome. His fiance is great. But I'm not a detail person. I don't think most guys are. It's probably on a daily basis, although I think it's been cut down because my girlfriend, the significant other, SO, just doesn't bother anymore because she knows I have no answers. If she asked me about even one of my close friends and like something going on in their life, I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, I know that they like this pick in this game.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And the over and the under, that's about it.
I don't ask about it. Oftentimes I don't listen. I'm weird. Like sometimes stuff will hit me days later. And I'm like, oh yeah, that person told me something that was like kind of really bad news. So let me text them and check in.
Oh boy.
So I try to, try to be nice and score a couple of points.
Oh boy. Griffin, are you like that? I'm really curious to know how you men are. I think some men can be detailed.
Men are very detailed. I am a very detailed man in myself.
But are you going to remember the special occasions, like the anniversaries and stuff?
Yes, of course. I love planning the romantic stuff. I love to get real extravagant with it, do little sweet things here and there, big surprises. You can never go wrong with that.
Okay.
Griffin, you've been with the show for how long now?
Since April.
Yes. I couldn't tell you if Griffin's in a relationship. I don't know anything about prior relationships. I have no idea.
My love is the work.
See? That's where we vibe. The work. And the oddness of Griffin where, it's really not odd. Every show finishes and he is just despondent. At the end of the show, he's like, oh, man.
Let's keep going. I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, I got to be better tomorrow.
That post looked crappy. Got to do better the next day.
Man, we have too much work stuff to talk about. They'd be talking about whoever.
That's true.
I will tell you about the SO on the air. That's all you're getting. We don't need to know anything else.
I'll give you the benefit of doubt because you speak for a living. So I could imagine speaking for a living 5 days a week is challenging to want to know anything about anyone else because you have to know everything about everybody else in the world.
Very self.
Yeah. I don't blame you, though.
Very self-centered. I admit it.
Well, do you have a lot of friends?
I don't know.
Because I don't. Because I don't know. I think it's hard to have friends.
What I've noticed recently? If I do get opportunities to, like lately, as a show, we've been getting spiffed a little bit. People have been nice to us and saying, hey, come down. We'll take care of you. And then I start thinking of like who I want to invite, and I'm like, yeah, they're just gonna say no. So I don't, on the Friends thing, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, if I have to go to the airport for a longer trip on Saturday, like I don't, if I needed a ride, I don't know who I would call.
The Uber.
I mean, I think Griffin would do it.
Yeah.
But it's like a show thing.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, boss, I'll drive you.
Cofield, you ever need a ride, you hit me up. I'll pick you up in my big Clifford car.
Yeah, I think the first favor I will call in on a friend front with Griffin will be lifting something or moving something. Like, he's young.
He got that down pat.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And but a full move, never. You don't ever ask anyone on a full move out of a house or something or out of an apartment.
That's when you ask. Steve, that's typically when you would.
That's a big ask.
Steve, I'm about to move. I was about to ask you.
You just have to offer them food.
Are you really?
Just moving into a different unit in my apartment complex. I ain't going nowhere. But a move is a move, and all the help would be appreciated.
Can you imagine Steve picking up all the boxes and taking them to the next room? No, I can't.
I would do it. I have a weight limit now. I got to be careful. I don't want to like throw in a back with some big piece of furniture. You know, the funny thing is, John Von Tobel, who's part of the company, and he does the Westgate show on Sunday morning. That's a good reminder. Westgate 8 to 9. The full remote is 8 to 10, but in the Superbook, right before Football Central in the big theater there, John hosts the 1 hour JVT Sunday football preview show with John Murray, one of the superstar number makers, risk supervisors. He's even higher than that down at Westgate. So make sure you get down there to watch football on Sundays. He recently moved. This is where I don't listen. I think he sort of committed to do a show. And he's like, oh, and he forgot. And then that day he's like, oh man, I'm moving. And I just didn't say anything. He's like, okay, I'll do the show. But he didn't ask me to move him. And then the great thing is, the other day I had to drop something off to him. And he's like, oh yeah, I actually live right near you.
Oh.
And I wanted to say like, and you're not going to tell me about that? He probably told me 10 times.
So
the answer to, do you have friends? Not real ones. Sadly, if I'm in the greatest.
You got to have at least one or two.
I might have a couple.
Yeah.
It flows. You know, you came up with a question today, and I don't have an answer to it, which 99.9% of the time I do. Were you paying attention to Michael Irvin?
Yes.
And his histrionics on the sidelines?
Of course I was.
What was he doing?
Doggy style.
but not that kind.
But not that kind, guys.
I mean, if you wanted
not to, that kind. But
need the receiver, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he was on all fours, right? And he was on the sidelines watching
Miami and Cal.
He was, like, shacked in a fool. He was going crazy.
He was, which I can understand. Maybe not the position, but I do understand the emotion of being a diehard fan. There's some things that you might do. And as he said, yeah, I bent that thing over, but we got that win. Okay, Michael Irvin, I don't agree with the position, but you did get the win. So, hey. So, yeah, my question that I pose to you is, what is something that you do every single game without a doubt, and it doesn't change?
As a fan?
Yeah.
Just to follow up a little bit, a Geo Million tweeted, Michael Irvin's back was hurting on the sidelines, and he is superstitious. Irvin said, blank, now I'm stuck down here. So I had to stay there until we mounted that comeback, and I did, and it worked. So now I guess that's going to be his thing. He's going to get down in the on the all fours to root on his team. Well, I'll ask Griffin first. Do you have a superstition when you watch games? And especially if it's your team?
Yeah, I rock the Dick Butkus 51 jersey. No cheese will be eaten on game day. We don't support those the Packers in Green Bay.
I love that. If you're not playing the Packers, it doesn't matter. Cheese is banned on Sundays with the Bears on.
I will have a sandwich with purely meat and condiments. Don't get that cheese anywhere near me. I will insult you.
No pizza during a Bears game?
Absolutely not, because what is about 80% of pizza? Cheese.
Damn you, Packers. Do you have something?
I don't have anything. No.
I don't think it's because a superstition to me is something that you feel like you need to do.
Or you'll lose.
To give your team, yeah, the luck it needs. I have found myself more often than not when I'm watching games at home, my school and the Jets, I don't sit down a lot. I'm pacing a lot. And one of the things I do to take the edge off, this is going to sound like the most ridiculous thing ever. The kitchen is within view. I have a little, room that has three TVs. And when I'm watching my team, I will often kind of fade into the kitchen and I start doing the dishes. I know it is the dumbest thing ever, but it's like
during timeouts though.
You know, a lot of times I'm like scrub plate and I turn around and then I'll walk toward it and then I walk back. It's on purpose. It just happens almost every time.
But what if you miss a really good play? Like it doesn't give you anxiety.
That's the thing. I have a time where I know scrub the glass, turn around, damn it, and you know, and then go back. Maybe it's the water, the soothing water to like relieve anger because I'm angry most of the game.
Yeah,
I'm frustrated. There's not a lot of times now when I'm watching games where my girlfriend is actually within earshot of me. Because she knows I just get so annoyed. Even on like nothing plays, I'm cussing. Yeah. And so yeah.
You're that fan that gets mad when it's the first quarter.
Oh yeah, because I know it could lead to something, and I'm infuriated almost the entire game with the officials.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Agreed.
It's intense.
Yeah.
We often, as a family, because she's a Chargers fan, we often get to the end of the day on Sunday, you know, with say Sunday Night Football coming up, and we're like, football's fun, isn't it? And we're both like,
It would be different if your team won all the time.
No, it'd be nice if I was a Chiefs fan.
It'd be really nice.
I met some Chiefs fans.
With the refs always cheating for you. So yeah, sure, it will be nice.
I mean, I don't like to do the ref cheating thing.
Well, I'm saying
there have been some cases. I'm not going to rip it. I don't like to blame the refs. I get mad at them for weird calls, interjecting themselves all the time. But
yeah, tired of them Chiefs.
As I said early in the week, I don't like the Chiefs. It's like borderline hate them, but it's not the same
highly
hatred as for me as Belichick.
Oh.
That was a whole different group because I don't like Chiefs fans. You're not bad people, but I don't think you appreciate what you have and you're gloating about. And I'm not going to say lucking into Patrick Mahomes, but because you guys drafted him and it wasn't the number one pick, but
yep,
you're now going to have football bliss probably for 17 years. And for us, for those of us like the Raiders right now, cannot find a quarterback.
Nope.
The Jets cannot find a quarterback. When they do, he's old and weird. Right? And they're just like, no matter what happens to the Chiefs, it's like, oh, Pacheco's down. Oh, it's going to get a little bit dicey. Oh, Rashee Rice is down. Oh, Hollywood Brown's down. Like, they're in real trouble. Nope. Like, they're not even good on offense. And they're still winning because they're also smart. Because a couple of years ago, they kept losing these shootouts, and they're like, okay, we got to fix the defense, and Pat's going to do what Pat does. They were smart. He's going to make other players great.
Yeah.
Without a defense, then you always have to worry, even with Patrick Mahomes, you can't give the ball back to the other team. That's why a lot of those battles at the end with the Patriots and the Chiefs, you were still like, no, I wouldn't give the ball back to Brady. Now they're like, yeah, we'll go score when we want to score, and our defense is going to snuff you out.
So did you hate the Patriots more
than
what you hate the Chiefs now?
A billion times more. I mean, obviously, it's a division thing. So I get it for you. You're AFC West Raiders and Chiefs, and you got to play them twice. And I mean, most of the players on the Chiefs are passable, borderline likable. Like, I don't hate Patrick Mahomes. I just get frustrated at how freaking awesome he is.
Yeah.
I don't hate Kelce, and I don't hate Taylor Swift. I think the Kelce brothers are funny. Like, you can't hate Andy Reid. He's a fellow big guy.
Yeah.
You know, he likes to eat cheeseburgers. He's got a silly, bushy mustache.
It's just always finding a way to win. I think that's what we hate.
That's frustrating, yes. I mean, does the NFL need it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dominant teams are always better for a sport than balance. I mean, I think baseball is cool because it's balanced, but I think a lot of people, if the big boys don't make it to the World Series, we'll see what the ratings are like. I will tell you, I did not enjoy having to get up super early to watch the Jets.
No.
And part of it was, well, the Jets game was close. Sometimes when your team is not good, you almost want other games on. So you're like, I'm just going to put this off to the side. I'll watch it. But in an ISO spot, the Jets in Minnesota was super frustrating. But the time's not convenient for us on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they're building the game around the world. And there's going to be – you're going to see.
But you actually woke up for it.
I got up, yeah.
And what time did it air our time?
So it was at 6:30 in the morning.
6:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Yep. I will watch those games on replay. Unless it's my own team.
Yeah.
Well, unless, it's, of course, it's my own team.
You can't really do the spoilers. You can't avoid the spoilers.
You can't avoid the spoilers, though. You just have to watch it because you enjoy watching it. But other than that, yeah, the spoilers are definitely going to come. But Jags, Bears.
So, Griffin, how do you feel about
that's coming up next.
International spot here.
I'm not really a big fan of the international game. I'm somebody who's selfish and wants football to stay in an American sport. But I cannot wait. I cannot wait to beat down on Trevor Lawrence and those Jags. They get cute little white helmets in the offseason. I shouldn't, you know, what we say, Steve? I shouldn't punch down. They are having a rough season. But, ooh, we are going to go hunting. We're going hunting for Jaguars out there in London.
Why are you guys on a neutral field? I guess the argument might be that the Jags have been there a lot and the Bears haven't. Why are you only 2-point favorites when you're 3-2 and they're 1-4? Or do records not really mean what they show early in the season?
I feel like the easy answer is for me to say just haters are going to hate. But in reality, if I had to be unbiased about it, I'd say, you know, we are 3-2 right now as a team. We've got some victories over teams like the Titans, the Panthers. It's not the greatest showcase, but I mean, when you have more wins than losses and Caleb Williams is starting to look up, the whole team, the defense is stout the way that a Chicago Bears defense should be. I think it's positive, and then, you know, if they're not going to give us the respect on the odds, we'll just take it. We'll just earn it on Sunday in London.
My God, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I was suggesting, that your schedule hasn't been great. They freaking backloaded the Bears schedule, did they not?
Like a mother.
Starting on basically the second half, starting on November 17th, it's Packers, Vikings, Lions, then Niners, then Vikings, then Lions.
Sheesh.
Packers. Look.
Sheesh.
But maybe, you know, at that point, maybe Caleb Williams has everything cleaned up and he's a top 10 quarterback in the second half and you guys might be able to do it. But I would be real careful, folks, if you're banking on the Bears to
going up against the Vikings and Lions. Come on now.
Six times.
Sorry, Griffin.
Don't be talking about the Vikings like those purple monster eaters. Don't be talking about them like they're some, all right? You start 5-0 in the season. Good job, all right? I'm not going to believe it till I see postseason. Let's see what you look like at the second half of the season. Just saying.
But it's still pretty impressive, though, because everybody harped on Sam Darnold like he was going to be the worst of the coming, and things are just working out. That connection, that JJ connection is just working out.
I do think he's going to fade.
Yeah, but
I've been wrong before.
Yeah, you definitely been wrong because you picked the Bears over the Texans. So,
well, right, what are they? Right now, they're separated by one game. I said the Bears would have a better record than the Texans.
But we're gonna have to give it at least until
the Texans would backslide, and they've been very good. So far.
Yeah, but you know, I won't judge you on that until postseason.
Well, it's a good time to judge if the Bears don't make the playoffs, and
yeah,
they weren't better than
then
the
I'll judge.
It looked like they're a lock to make the playoffs.
I don't think the Bears are gonna make the playoffs.
Griffin,
the Raiders aren't going to make the playoffs either.
Steve, I'm going to address Nye on this. I'll have you look at your phone real quick because I sent you a message about this topic. Nye, quit that. Quit all that.
I'm sorry. I'm just being realistic.
I'm going to let you say what you want.
I said the Raiders too, though. I put us in that category. We all know how I feel and my emotions in regard to that.
That's fair. I will say, as a fan of a team, and this is how every fan of any team in any sport should see it, especially at this point in the NFL season, it's day by day. We're just growing. We got a rookie quarterback. He's starting to find his groove. We got a defense that's mean and absolutely green. We got so much going on that we can't be focused on the postseason quite yet. Let's just see how we look. Let's get through this first easy half of the season, take on the juggernaut we got going on in the second half, and we'll see where we're at.
All right. Optimistic.
I read your message 17 minutes too late. I apologize, Griffin.
No worries. No worries.
Is that what you were looking for?
Absolutely.
Arash Markazi is coming up in a couple minutes. But before that, I haven't got an official take from both of you guys on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and Saleh. Rodgers on the McAfee show responding to these allegations that he's pulling the strings with the Jets. He said ridiculous allegations. I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. They're patently false. It's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't.
Okay.
I'm sorry. This is
okay. Him he's a football saying, version him of LeBron
saying
James.
That, him saying that we're absurd makes him even more absurd.
Yeah. No matter what, the franchise quarterback has power, especially if your name is Aaron Rodgers. And their relationship leading up to this was kind of shaky anyway. Nothing made sense in any of the press conferences that they were discussing. So do I believe that he was the reason? not necessarily fully, but of course it had something to do with it.
Well, the buck stops with Woody Johnson, the owner. I mean, I'm sure the best quarterbacks in the league, especially say the 7 or 8 that are really established and have equity, of course they're heard. And of course they can have an influence on the owner and decisions, but that doesn't mean the owner and the GM have to do it.
Yeah, true. How do you feel though? Right. Because
I think Salah got screwed. I think Rodgers had something to do with it. I think Woody Johnson was listening to Rodgers' complaints. There may have been preemptive action here by Rodgers because Nate Hackett was going to get demoted by Salah, but I don't see how this makes them better. Mm-hmm. Because now they've, in the case of Salah, who's the defensive guy, now they've had a bump up their DC. So maybe the defense gets worse without hands on all the time, Jeff Ulbrich, because now he's got more responsibilities and their offense is where they're struggling. And Rodgers should just worry about that. He should worry about the work he does with Todd Downing and with Nate Hackett, because that's the side that has looked disorganized. And for all Rodgers wants to joke about taking a week off, you know, during training camp, they don't look like they were ready for the season. They've only had a few good quarters where they've looked organized. And there's a lot of times you're like, you watch and it's a stupid statement, but you're like, do these guys practice? Like the receivers don't seem to know where the ball is coming from and to a lot of times. Like it's Rodgers is still pretty good. He's not Aaron Rodgers of 5 years ago. Yeah. Some of the misses are really bad. And these receivers are not crap receivers. Garrett Wilson's, whatever, a top 20 receiver. Mike Williams is a good complimentary receiver. He's got a connection with Alan Lazard. That's good, but that shouldn't be your number one. That shouldn't be your most reliable guy. So we'll see. Generally,
expect the unexpected.
I don't even know if I said this on the air. I think I said it off the air. If you get rid of a coach 5 games into the season, that means in all likelihood the team has given up on the coach and is not playing hard. It's not going max effort.
Yeah.
They were still playing hard. So now what does this do to team dynamics if people feel like – because, you know, there's solid guys in there. A lot of the defensive players are solid guys. I think it was Quincy Williams who was talking about some positives of Robert Saleh. So I think there's going to be a bunch of guys who are like, what just happened here? And who did this?
It doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. What is the perception and the mindset now going into the players? Thinking about the players on both sides of the ball, how is that locker room going to be now? Because where is your direction coming from?
Yep.
When you had that direction, because you could have at least waited until the end of the year to fire him if that's something that you were planning to do, or like Caleb said, did it in the offseason.
Just do it. Get rid of it. Yeah, get rid of him.
Why before delay? This whole thing.
And then the problem, like a good example, coming up, the Bills play the Jets on Monday Night Football. Make sure you join us at Ellis Island in the front yard. When teams get a change at head coach, sometimes it can give them a spark. Sometimes there's addition by subtraction. I thought with Davante Adams, that situation sort of cleared up. Like he's not playing and he's going somewhere else. I thought the Raiders would be like together on Sunday against the Broncos. And I thought they had good moments in the first quarter. And then as soon as a couple of things went the wrong way on them, ooh, man, they fell apart. They were not galvanized by the Davante Adams stuff.
Oh, I've been saying it since offseason. Davante Adams is going to be gone by the trade line, and this is exactly what is happening. It started, one, with the Raiders, right? The top heads of it. Bringing in AP doesn't necessarily have the experience. Then you don't even have a decision at quarterback. They don't even know how to separate themselves. It was too much that Davante Adams was dealing with. He's in his 11th season. He's trying to win a ring. I don't know. Many say that he's more about the money than the ring. I can't speak on that. I would assume that he would at least want to win a ring. But he's out of there. I didn't think that culture,
well, you guys,
identity
most
stuff,
of you guys
I
have turned on him real quick.
It was done. No, and I still like Davante Adams. I am not turning on him. He has every right to want to leave that organization because that organization doesn't even know what they're doing.
He does. But he did Antonio Pierce real dirty last week because the whole story wasn't told. And
are you talking about like with the Kay Adams stuff?
Yeah. It looked like Antonio Pierce basically.
But what is going on in the building that we can't see, though? There's other things taking place in that building.
I don't think Davante Adams is a happy guy. I think he goes in every offseason. He's like, I came here to play with Derek Carr. You got rid of him. And the replacements are not good enough. So he looks at it. And whether it's selfish or not, like, how am I going to get the ball? How am I going to get my 95 catches and 1,300 yards with Jimmy G and then Akon and then Gardner Minshew? Like, this is not what I saw.
Can you blame him, though?
I don't blame him. But I think it would have been cool to just clear the air well before the season and go, you know what?
I don't believe this is going to work. I don't believe in what you're doing. Move me.
But maybe he was trying to believe in this season and just give it a chance.
It's hard.
Maybe he was trying to give AP a chance at the beginning.
And that's whatever Telesco said too.
The drama just didn't play. Like, it played out much differently. Like, it did.
Yeah.
I don't even think we expected.
By the way,
they're
not 0-5. That's the other thing too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, you're going to have a party for the games they won, but they won games. His mind was not with this.
But it's also not fun playing with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. I'm sorry, it's just not. I'm an outsider, and I still see that it's frustrating for me to even watch a game watching them two play. Like, it's not exciting at all.
You know where it's fun to play? With the Packers, where they win every year.
Why? Why are you
not
doing
always
that?
Greener?
Why are you saying it's that?
But it's not. It's not always greener. You have to make a choice. organizational consistency is an absolute must when you're considering where you're going, and especially if it's big money. Sometimes maybe that extra level of money ain't worth it if you're going to be miserable. And in his case, you don't put up the numbers you want to put up. He did take a chance by going to the Raiders, who have not been the best, organized team over the years.
Imagine if he stayed with the Packers and was playing now with Jordan Love. How do you think would have turned out?
I'm sure it kills him. Because very few people, although if you're a player on the Packers and you got to work with Jordan Love over the years, you would have an advantage on us that, maybe you knew, maybe, but I don't think you did. But it's got to kill him now that he's like, they're still good without me.
Yep.
And they have basically an immediate replacement who's a top 15 guy in Jordan Love. What did I do?
And now the two teams that I was supposed to be going, one doesn't even have a head coach and the other doesn't have a quarterback.
Yep. I can't go to the Saints.
What do I do? Where do I go?
I'm out of freaking options. You know when there's a lot of options? In the offseason. Because then people can reorganize their salary cap. Coming up next, in about 30 minutes, Barry Odom Radio Show live at Parkway Tavern 215 and Flamingo. You can listen to it here on ESPN Las Vegas. But why do that? It's even more fun to get out to Parkway Tavern where they're going to have $2 beers during the show. Barry Odom. Play-by-play voice Matt Neverett and former quarterback with the Rebels, Caleb Herring. California,
Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
How about the Mr. and Mrs.? How about that? That's going to be a label in the future. But as Nye knows, I'm actually hesitating right now because I said earlier with my friends, I really don't ask them about anything of real life. We just talk sports. And Arash and I talk a lot about food. So, Arash, you didn't get married yet, right? This is the weekend, correct?
This is the weekend, this Saturday. Big day.
Wow. What a sigh of relief. I thought I missed it.
No.
I'm not good with this stuff. I had to admit it earlier. Now I was like, "What? You don't know when?" And then it clicked in because you had talked last week or 2 weeks ago about getting married on one of the craziest days in college football of the season. So,
yeah.
Are you getting any blowback on that? Any of your guests are like, "Dude, what are you doing?"
Yeah, I mean, there were some sports fans, but there was no one. I mean, there was no one like who was covering a game who can't make it. Listen, the big game was supposed to, I mean, and it still is a big game, but USC Penn State, a little bit of that luster came off when USC lost to Minnesota, dropped out of the top 25. But still, you got Oklahoma, Texas. You got, You got
Ohio State, Oregon.
Yeah, there's like a list of games apparently on that Saturday.
So obviously you're going to be missing out on all the games because you have something bigger to focus on. How has the planning been, shall I ask?
Yeah, I mean, planning's been pretty hectic. Thankfully, we're kind of at the, the 10-yard line, certainly in the red zone. It's hilarious to me, people kind of contacting us, like, last minute, like, if they can bring a guest, and it's like, I think anyone who asked that question has not planned a wedding before, because we are well past that point in time. But excited to have the day here, we had thought about having it in Vegas, but we're having it in Los Angeles where a lot of our friends and family are.
What are we doing for food and drink? We got open bar. What are we doing? Buffet? What kind of food?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Open bar, plated dinner. That was a big conversation. I'll be a plated dinner. Yeah. So, not a buffet, you had to let us know whether you want to, filet chicken or fish or whatever. So
Yeah,
I love it. But listen, listen to the fading enthusiasm. He's like, you had to tell us you wanted the chicken, the filet, or fish, whatever.
Yeah,
you're done. You just want to get married.
Hey, but it's a very good menu. So the fish is a black cod, if you want to get specific. The filet mignon is very good. The food will be fantastic.
I love it. That is the thing. I have not been married. I swear, this is one of the reasons. I like the fear of organizing it. And the stress of what's supposed to be a really happy moment and a cool party afterwards, it just seems like a freaking giant hassle.
Yeah.
But enjoy it, Arash.
But it's the happiness. The happiness.
It'll be fun. Yeah, we're like almost done with it, and I agree with you. You know, I mean, a lot of the stress has been surrounding this wedding, to your point, Steve. It's supposed to be this joyous, happy occasion. Has caused a lot of stress and fights and arguments or whatever, but we're almost there. It's going to be fantastic.
And from what I hear, when there's battles over the wedding, I don't care is a bad response.
Oh, no, you always have to care. You have to care, yeah.
Or do whatever you want. That doesn't work.
You can't do that either. Yeah, the best YouTube video, and I showed my fiance this, and she got a kick out of it because I thought it was hilarious, would be Mike Leach's response when he was asked at one of his press conferences. I think he was the coach of Washington State at the time, but the late great Mike Leach commented on this, and it's so true.
Arash is with us, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas. All right, we got some LA stories to get into. With USC and Penn State, I think USC has a chance to win. They're going to be max motivated after not getting a game that they should have won. Mm-hmm. They were in front. They faded down the stretch. Really weird angle going into this one, and I think it really was for the local audience and the local community to fix their freaking airport, but I loved hearing James Franklin from Penn State complain that they have these long flights now with these Pac-12 schools and the runway in state college isn't long enough. We got to go to Harrisburg, drive an hour. Like, James, everyone who goes to play you has to do that too. Has to, you know what I mean? It's like everyone's had to do that for years. Now you're whining because you got to play a game or two a year out west.
Yeah, the takeoff I wouldn't think would be as much of a big deal as landing. I mean, as you remember, Steve, I don't know, you know, so back when I lived in the Great 18 in the San Fernando Valley, like I would always fly in to and out of Burbank. I mean, that pilot, if you're flying in a Burbank, he's got to hit the brakes as soon as he hits the pavement. So that was always a thing. But that's, I mean, again, I don't know the first thing about like that, but like it would seem like that's more of like an issue for like the return flight and the landing, not so much for the takeoff. But yeah, like these are things that you got to be concerned about, I guess. Now,
how are you feeling about the Dodgers in this series and the position they put themselves in?
Not good at all. You know, I mean, listen, I basically saw this play out 2 years ago when I went to San Diego. The Dodgers won Game One, they dropped Game Two. I went to San Diego kind of expecting a split there. Like, I didn't expect the Dodgers to win in four, but they got totally outplayed and couldn't hit, couldn't do anything in clutch situations in San Diego, lost games three and four there, and that was, again, their season. So, listen, I mean, they're in a worse position now just because of their pitching, and we really knew that coming into the postseason. That being said, yes, the pitching has not been great, but that is not the reason that they lost Game 2. I mean, for them not to get a hit after that Teoscar Hernandez grand slam, and obviously it doesn't help now. Freddie Freeman scratched from the lineup. Listen, I don't have a lot of confidence that they'll be able to extend this thing.
Do you think the Padres are now a bigger rival for the Dodgers than the Giants?
No, you know, because of the history, and I know that's the thing, and I'm really excited that this is a rivalry just because it is a fun trip to make on that Surfliner train, and Petco is a great ballpark, and it is a rivalry now, and I do think it is one that I think the younger fan would say, oh, like, I'm more excited to play the Padres, and I get that, but the historical significance of Giants-Dodgers, and again, going back to being like a nerd or whatever, you know, why both teams went from New York to California. I mean, this is so nothing will top Giants-Dodgers, at least in the foreseeable future. But this is a great modern-day rivalry from 2020 to 2024. It's been tremendous.
Let's talk a little NBA with the CEO of the Sporting Tribune. It's Arash Markazi with Nye with Cofield here. On this Wednesday, we're going to have Lakers and Warriors here in town. It's right around the corner early next week. I've seen you know, documenting, chronicling the early experience here with Bronny around his dad, LeBron. I like the way you're covering it. It's a special moment. We can be happy. We don't have to be mad. But there are a lot of people who, with Bronny, immediately they're like, did you see what he did in the first game? Like, I don't care. Do we not understand what this is at this point? It's a nice story for the family. He's probably not going to play a whole lot for the Lakers. Just dial it down. It's a special moment. Stop being angry about everything in sports.
I agree. Listen, it's going to be so obviously it was a significant moment in their first preseason game together. We'll see how many more of those moments we get. I mean, LeBron touched on it on social media. I think it's wild that they're traveling all the way to Milwaukee to play the Bucks in the preseason game. They closed the preseason out on a back-to-back. For the Vegas fans out there, I have no doubt that LeBron will play in Vegas. I don't know how many other preseason games he'll play in. You know, the big moment will be that first regular season game where they share the court. I think JJ will try to get that kind of out of the way first night, first week of the season. And then, listen, I mean, if they're smart, and I think the team has kind of said this or hinted at it, I mean, he's going to spend a lot of his time in the G League, and he should. So we're going to get our moment in the preseason. We're going to get our moment the first week of the season. But I think after that, the South Bay Lakers is where he will play the majority of this season.
You were covering Rams and Packers. I had the Rams plus the points in that game. It did not work out. They couldn't finish the game and get the touchdown. Where do you think the Rams are right now? Like, I don't think they suck. I mean, they're obviously beat up right now. They're not in a great position. I've been calling for Davante Adams. If he's going to go anywhere, he should try to go to the Rams. That's a winning organization with a good quarterback, but they're not in a great position right now. Where do you feel like they're at?
Yeah, they're in a really tough spot, Steve, because their problems are really not their wide receivers. And again, they're going to get help in that position. They're going to get Cooper Kupp back. They're going to get Puka Nacua back. Their problems are all on the line of scrimmage. The offensive line, the defensive line. The defense is really not good this season. And so, you know, the problem for them is, I mean, they thankfully, you know, for them, got that comeback win over San Francisco. If not, they would be winless at this point. But I really don't sense a ton of confidence in terms of them being able to go on a run like they did last year. That being said, I mean, I don't know of any team in recent history that lost more players for the first 2 weeks of the season than them. Not that I had them as a Super Bowl team, but I did view them as sort of a dark horse kind of playoff team, a team that could win 10 games, and that's not going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, the only game that they got blown out in was the Cardinals game. Detroit game went to the very end. The Green Bay game went to the very end. I just don't see them turning it around, though.
We got to close on this sort of where we started. First, I saw you retweet an interview with Woj, who has now left the reporting business, the insider biz, to go work at St. Bonaventure with their basketball program. And I saw you retweet it and say something interesting. Was he kind of dancing around why he left and looking for excuses?
No, listen, I thought it was a great quote from Lee Jenkins, and I've talked to him about this. I mean, listen, we're seeing this a lot in the journalism business, mainly because of the uncertainty. But this feeling of it's okay to say you've done it, you don't have to do it forever. I think that there's really this feeling in sports journalism, like if you're a sports writer or columnist, like that's all you can be in life. And it's not the case. And again, so I mean, like, listen, it obviously extends to other professions, but I have a lot of respect for that clarity. And again, like Lee Jenkins, in my mind, and Woj talked about it, I mean, was the best basketball, and I just think sports in general, journalist. I mean, if you sat down for a Lee Jenkins feature, you were going to learn something new. And the fact that he would leave that to go work for the Clippers, and now Woj leaves his job to go to St. Bonaventure, and there's other examples of that as well. So I just thought it was interesting.
Arash, great spot. Congrats. Dial it down a little bit. It doesn't have to be that intense. Have a lot of fun. Congrats.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
There he is. The chicken, the steak, or whatever. we come back. We're going to talk to UNLV linebacker Jackson Woodard, and then we'll head off to the Barry Odom radio show.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, getting ready for the Barry Odom radio show and also this Utah State game on Friday. Friday is when the game is, and still some wrap-up to do on the Syracuse game and look ahead to Utah State. I had a chance to sit down and talk to Jackson Woodard, linebacker from the Rebels, and this part of the conversation basically started with, hey, lessons were learned and, you know, mistakes were made, but good things could be coming. Just got to eliminate those mistakes.
Can't happen again. You know, again, it shouldn't have even come down to that situation. We should have, you know, if we get off the ball on third downs, I think we had 18 third downs. We got to get off the ball. It's unacceptable, and we'll get it fixed.
Interception you got, and then you had one right there. When you're watching on film, what was good about the one you got and then the one you didn't?
The one I got, I mean, it was good. I was in man coverage and just did what I was supposed to do. And then the one I didn't, I baited them perfectly, and I just didn't come up with it. It's kept me up at night. It sucks, you know, but I'm faithful. God's got a plan, and, you know, that was his plan that night. But I got to be better. I got to focus on catching, and I'll be better.
And I appreciate you answering the questions because these are not easy, and yep. I don't want to bring it back up again, but that is – it's part of football.
Yep.
You were very passionate on the sideline, multiple cases where – I haven't really seen you go all the way up and down position groups.
Yep.
There was a moment where I think it was after their running back Willis got outside, and maybe there wasn't some, you know, the job wasn't done on contain or inside. What were you trying to get to the guys? Because you were really fired up and you went to every unit to talk to them.
Yeah, normally I will just pick a certain unit or some specific person that I need to talk to, but I just thought our communication wasn't where it needed to be, and that's what killed us. So I was just going up and down, talking about communication, talking about it's the next rep. We got to, you know, focus on one rep at a time, and communicating each rep. So it was more just about communication, and I was obviously fired up and passionate. I want to win more than I think anyone in this world. So, yeah.
It's a very fascinating sideline dynamic because I saw Haj early in the game. I think it was around that series where there was that weird call about formation and all that. And he comes to the sidelines. He's like, it's called execution. He's walking over the O-line. And then he said, we can't shoot ourselves in the foot. Let's get past that call. That's BS. I actually admired him a lot.
Yeah.
I know he's been around, and I guess that's the whole thing. He is a leader, even though he didn't start the season. But he had no problem going over to the O-line and chirping a bit. And then finally, Vance Feiss is like, okay, get out of here. Like, we got the message.
Yeah. Now, Haj is... he's a leader. He's really impressive just how he's handled the situation. And I always thought that, you know, he's one of the best leaders I've been around, just been a part of a team. He's one of the best leaders that I've seen. I've learned a lot from him, and the team really respects him.
So this is going to be Mountain West Conference football coming up because it's generally known as a high-flying league, right? It's at elevation, so the wind is going to be a test. Utah State can score. I mean, they got you know, beat pretty bad by Boise, but they score. And Petras is an experienced quarterback. He might be 27 years old for all we know, but he's and this is going to be a good challenge.
100%. Yeah, they got a really good offense, got explosive players. Like you said, it's going to be a really big challenge. The defense is going to be ready. We're going to step up and do our job, which is to get the ball back to our high-powered offense.
What do they look like from a run game standpoint? Faison, their running back's got like 550 yards. Obviously, you just went against a pretty good one in LaQuinn Allen. So how is what Syracuse brings run game different than Utah State?
Yeah, I mean, there's difference in just the players because each player is unique. Utah State's got a really good back, and I think they're so explosive in certain, you know, more than just one area that it does open up the run game, and then the run game can open up the passing game, which I think is what Syracuse did as well. But they obviously got a good O-line. Utah State does. They're a gritty O-line and got a good running back behind them.
There's been stuff happening with special teams. You guys came in. There was an immediate impact last year. Yep. It was much better than it had been. The kicking game got a lot better. But I feel like this year – there's even more energy. It's almost like a competition on the field to outdo each other. Is that kind of the vibe right now, especially when Ricky's putting up highlight real plays?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it starts with Coach Shebus. He's the best special teams coach in the nation. He puts us in the right spots. He's been around the game. He understands certain techniques that we work on over and over and over, certain schemes that we are always working on. And then the guys just buy in to Coach Shebus and his plan, and then it is a competition who can be the best on special teams. We know how important special teams is as a third phase of the game. It can be just as important as offense or defense.
Did you see early in camp signs of being a good special teams player with Bradley? Because as a receiver, I'm sure he's coming in, I want 50 catches, 100 yards, 10 touchdowns, but he's turned into a freaking ace making big plays on special teams.
100%. Yeah, he takes pride in it, and he's extremely fast. I would hate to block him on KOR if it were me. But yeah, he takes pride in it. He knows his job. And then he's an exceptional athlete, so he makes really good plays.
Last thing, let's talk about goals for the season, because I feel like the new system is sort of set up with the whole the group of five mentality. Is like, we have to go unbeaten. You guys aren't thinking that way, because the thing that drives me nuts is college football is right now is crazy in terms of the balance. The teams are going to lose. So right. How do you kind of reset yourself? Like, hey, get back to the mission and post the best record that you can.
Yeah, well, our mission every week is to go 1-0. All we care about is winning. The Mountain West Championship's our ultimate goal. After that, it's out of our hands. So we can't be sitting here talking or worried about what's going to happen after that. We're focused on going 1-0 and focused on Utah State. The rest will take care of itself.
There he is, Jackson Woodard. More football talk coming up. UNLV program, Barry Odom Radio Show. Last couple seconds, quick giveaway. Let's do it. Thanks for listening at the end of the show. VGK Ducks on Sunday. Tickets are available at AXS.com. Caller 7 right now, 364-1100. We'll see you.